NBC News and Special Events presents a special preview of tomorrow's presidential primary elections in California and South Dakota. Yes, it's primary preview on NBC, pointing up tomorrow's voting in California and South Dakota, the last two of the nation's primary elections. This is another in NBC's radio series of specially transcribed reports on the major primary elections of the 1952 presidential race. In this series of programs, NBC has kept you up to date on primary developments as they started in New Hampshire back in March, right across the nation. It's all part of our coverage of the 52 political story to keep our listeners better informed on the men and issues in the presidential contests. There's no better way to be informed than to follow the campaign of the next president on NBC. We will be bringing you details on the concluding primary races, the complete story on the conventions, through the campaigns, and the final ballots in the November elections. So keep listening to NBC. During tonight's partially transcribed preview, we'll hear from Bob Letts and Elmer Peterson in the NBC newsrooms in San Francisco and Los Angeles. And from station KELO, Sioux Falls. First, for the California primary preview, here is Bob Letts.
When you realize that the length of California is about the same as from New York City to a point below Savannah, Georgia, you can gather some idea of how complicated are the problems of America's fastest growing state. The interests of California citizens run the gamut from the green timber stands of the northern mountains and their mining and agricultural interests down through the richly cultivated central valleys, where cotton is a new economic king, incidentally, and on into heavily populated southern California, where agriculture and oil are the big businesses. The offshore fishing is the largest of any state in the Union, and transportation has become big because of other industries, with much manufacturing being spread from the Mexican border to the Oregon line. And thus the politicians have manifold problems in a local way, but the people of California are just as interested as those in any other states about national and foreign issues. Official estimates say that more than 3.5 million votes will be cast in California's primary tomorrow, and on the Democratic Party race there are two tickets. One is the slate pledged to Senator Estes Kefauver of Tennessee. The other is a favorite son slate, originally organized for President Truman and then kept largely intact under the leadership of Attorney General Edmund Pat Brown. This uninstructed ticket is appealing to all Democrats who favor a nominee other than Kefauver and has the general support of the so-called party regulars. On the Republican side, Governor Earl Warren's established vote-getting ability and his bid for the GOP presidential nomination is challenged by an uninstructed ticket headed nominally by a congressman from Bakersfield, Thomas H. Werdell. A third race of considerable interest is that for the United States senatorship, in which the incumbent Republican, William F. Noland of Oakland, is being opposed by a former publisher, Clinton McKinnon of San Diego, who is forsaking his congressional seat to make this contest. And now for a discussion of issues, we bring in NBC's veteran news analyst Elmer Peterson at Los Angeles.
Californians will vote with both pride and confusion in their primary election. They will vote with pride because with 5 million new citizens, California delegations to the nominating conventions will be second in size only to New York. 70 strong on the Republican side, 68 on the Democratic side. That's evidence of how the far West is coming into its own politically. Where the confusion comes in is that California voters must choose between an uninstructed anti-Warren ticket and the Warren slate of delegates. On the Democratic ticket for president, the voters must choose between Senator Kefauver and an unpledged slate of delegates, which would have gone to President Truman. Now add to this the fact that many candidates will win in both primaries through the California custom of cross-filing, and it will be difficult in some instances to get a clear-cut expression on the issues involved. As far as Governor Warren is concerned, it will be a test of his middle-of-the-road policies and whether he can control the entire Republican delegation. The anti-Warren ticket, pledged nominally to Representative Thomas H. Werdell, is making an issue of Governor Warren himself. They are attacking Warren as being a New Dealer. They argue he has played both sides of the field, that he is a liberal extremist who does not represent genuine Republican policies. They say they will support the best Republican candidate available from their viewpoint, presumably Senator Taft. As for Warren, he has been campaigning on what he calls the need for social progress, for world cooperation, higher standards in public office, and conservation of natural resources. Eisenhower supporters in California have been asked by their leaders to vote for Warren, in the obvious hope that Warren will switch to Eisenhower at Chicago if occasion arises. Whether the California governor likes this is doubtful. He has an amazing voting record in California. He wants to go to Chicago with a full endorsement of his own policies, with no suspicion of an alliance. But in any event, the California primary should demonstrate again that the big, genial California governor will be a man to watch at the national convention. On the Democratic side, one issue will be whether voters are for or against President Truman in this way. The unpledged brown slate of delegates has created the impression that it has the sympathy and support of the president. Senator Kefauver has been arguing in reply that the group led by Brown is asking California voters to buy what he calls a pig in a poke, that is, not knowing which candidate they are voting for. His supporters are arguing that White House opposition to Kefauver, as it may exist, really helps their candidate. And since the Brown ticket stands pretty solid on Truman policies, anti-Truman sentiment among California Democrats has a chance for expression. By and large, it looks as though Warren and Kefauver will take top honors in the California voting. Kefauver has the support, among other things, of James Roosevelt. Kefauver's voting record in Congress on the submerged oil land issue and the Central Arizona Irrigation Project is against him. He is, however, well known to many California voters through his Senate crime hearings in this state. What it all adds up to is that, on both sides, California voters now have to consider personalities, issues, and the gamble of uninstructed delegates. Here again is Bob Letts.
NBC has collected statements from the principals so that you may better understand them and what they stand for. And first, here are views of the Republican Party opponents, with Governor Earl Warren, often charged with being too liberal, laying some facts on the line as he sees them.
Let me make plain that I advocate no change in the philosophy expressed in our official party declarations, nor in those programs which we have had in recent years in our platforms. If it is not still Republican doctrine, I wonder who vetoed it and under what authority. We need have no fear that the continued affirmation of these principles will deprive us of issues. The fact our opponents will advocate some of the same things does not weaken our cause in the slightest. No person or party owns a good idea.
Early this year, as the result of political enmities which had developed over the last several years, a group of California Republicans decided to enter a slate against Warren. They represent a segment of the oil industry that opposed a state gasoline tax increase more than 5 years ago, some farmers who were dissatisfied with the Warren labor policies, some doctors, and a few who disagreed violently with him in his opposition to the special loyalty oath at the University of California. And so they entered their slate with Congressman Thomas Werdell as the nominal leader. And here is how Mr. Werdell feels about the race.
Ours is a two-party system of free government. It is the party out of power, today the Republican Party, that is the only vehicle by which the people of California can remove the decayed footings of the pillars of state and replace them with sound material. Tomorrow, the free delegation offers to the state of California the right to send to the Republican National Convention 70 reputable, well-trained, and well-informed California citizens. It will be their power to ask questions of all of the candidates for the presidency of the United States.
Turning to the Democratic race in California's presidential primaries, as NBC follows the campaign of the next president, we have Senator Estes Kefauver making a strong bid against a group of President Truman's friends and a few others. Kefauver expects to win the 68 convention votes that are on the Democratic block tomorrow on a winner-take-all basis, and he says it this way.
After having spent about 8 days in the state of California, visiting all of the sections of the state and most of the principal cities, I feel very confident about the outcome in the primary on tomorrow. This has been a more spirited contest than a great many people realize, because I've had the old Democratic political machine against me here. More is involved in this question than just the delegates from California. The national committeemen and the national committeewomen are involved, and the question is whether new people, younger people, are going to be permitted to come in and take a larger part in the councils of the Democratic Party in California. My feeling is that the people of California don't want to delegate their right of selection, their right of franchise, They don't want someone else making the decisions for them.
Opposing Senator Kefauver and bidding strongly for his uninstructed slate's victory is the California Attorney General, Edmund Pat Brown, who says,
I cannot remember a Democratic delegation in the past 20 years on which there's been such a diversified and constructive representation. And let me call your attention to the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia in 1948. There were those who wanted to compromise with the South on the civil rights issue. The California delegation was not among the compromisers. I am proud I was a member of that delegation. Let us face the political facts. This is a year of great decision for the Democratic Party. This is true nationally, and it is true in California. Unlike the Republican Party, with its two bitter factions waging a head-on death struggle for power supremacy, the Democratic Party has an abundance of top-flight candidates.
California has been visited by several Democratic hopefuls who want to get support from the Brown uninstructed delegation if it goes to Chicago. For instance, W. Averill Harriman says,
Now, in California, I regret that my decision was made after the registration closed, or else I would have been here and fought it out in your primaries. Naturally, I hope that California will decide to send an uninstructed delegation so that your representatives can pick from the field the man that would represent the interests of your state and the nation the best.
And Senator Richard Russell of Georgia, claiming more delegates than any other Democrat in the pre-convention contest, put over a few points which we condensed from an interview like this.
I'm unalterably opposed to that compulsory penal section, FEPC bill. I'm not only trying to get the uninstructed delegates, I'm also interested in commitments as to where they'll go after they see that the man to whom they are committed has no chance whatever of being nominated.
And the Brown ticket, for various and obvious reasons, also has backing from other Democratic hopefuls, some of whom have spoken here for Brown, like Security Administrator Oscar Ewing and Senator Robert Kerr of Oklahoma, or have visited the state, like Adlai Stevenson, who says he's only a candidate for his Illinois governorship. And now for some reflections of the public's sentiments, here is Elmer Peterson with some opinions first of labor leaders.
In an effort to determine how the vote may go in California tomorrow, NBC newsmen interviewed scores of labor leaders, business figures, farmers, and just average voters. Here's what we found. Representing the AF of L viewpoint, C.J. Haggerty, Secretary of the California Federation of Labor, says,
The American Federation of Labor Movement in California has not endorsed any presidential slate for the primary election of June 3rd. Acting through its duly established vehicle, the California Labor League for Political Education, the state AFL is endorsing Clinton D. McKinnon for United States Senate. While we are not endorsing presidential candidates for the California primary, we'd like to take this opportunity to warn the people of California of the violently anti-labor record and attitude of Mr. Thomas Waddell, the leader of one Republican ticket.
A CIO spokesman, John Despel, Secretary Treasurer of the California State CIO Council, while urging a large turnout of voters, makes no endorsement for any presidential slate. But on the senatorial race, he takes this definite stand.
If a large vote is cast, we are confident that Clinton McKinnon will be nominated on the Democratic ticket over Republican Senator Nolan, whose name will also appear on the Democratic ballot because of the misleading cross-filing system in our state.
That's how labor is talking about tomorrow's California primary. A leading businessman, William Boyle, president of the California Metal Trades Association, says,
In tomorrow's primary, I shall cast my vote for the Waddell delegation because I believe that Mr. Taft, by virtue of his ability and long experience, would make a competent president in the critical days which lie ahead. I hasten to add, however, that in my judgment, the objective should be to achieve a Republican victory.
Businessman Cloyd Gray of the W.R. Ames Sheet Metal Company says,
I would like to approach the statement of my choice for candidate indirectly. It is my firm belief that the first step toward freedom from government is to remove from office the present Democratic administration. Personally, I'm an Eisenhower man. However, it is my conviction that all Eisenhower enthusiasts can best make their wishes known by voting for the Warren delegation tomorrow.
For the farm viewpoint on tomorrow's voting, here is the farm director for Station KNBC in San Francisco, Henry Schacht.
Most interest in the rural areas in this primary will center around the Republican battle between Governor Warren and the rival Werdell ticket, which would be most likely to turn to Senator Taft at the convention. Governor Warren probably will have a goodly margin from the farm vote, but not as large as many might think. Many farmers have found reason to argue with Mr. Warren's social welfare measures and his careful handling of organized labor. The Associated Farmers of California have been especially critical of the administration on these points. Here is the reaction of one of their leaders, Hank Strobel.
I believe that Governor Warren will win the Republican primary, but I also feel that if the Werdell ticket had had the money to educate the public about its principles, the outcome might be far different. Most of the farm people I talk to will vote heavily for Taft in November if he is nominated. I don't hear very much about the Democratic candidates, but what I do hear seems to favor Senator Kefauva.
A different reaction came from John Lawler, manager of the world's largest egg-producing cooperative, the Poultry Producers of Central California.
Whether rightly or wrongly, the Warren ticket is being regarded by California farmers as pro-Eisenhower and the Werdell ticket as pro-Taft. I have heard a good deal of sentiment for Senator Taft among farmers. Many of them are afraid, however, that he could not be elected president. On the Democratic side of the primary, I have found practically no active interest among farmers.
In addition to sampling opinion of California's farm business and labor interests, NBC newsmen took microphones out into the street to obtain the viewpoint of the general public. A Los Angeles receptionist says,
my favorite candidate is Warren because of the fine record he's shown in politics in California.
A Burbank guard.
My favorite candidate is Kefauver because I think that there should be a lot of this criminal tendency taken out of the politics and put where it belongs.
A San Francisco salesman.
I'm a registered Democrat. I should vote for the Pat Brown delegation. It's impossible to vote for the Kefauver delegation because of his position on civil rights.
A San Francisco veteran.
I intend to vote for Governor Warren and for the primary election. I just got back from Korea in December, and I think he's one of the best men there is for the job.
A San Mateo office worker.
I am registered as a Democrat, and I probably will vote for Kefauver in the primary tomorrow, but I might change my party completely in November.
While there are only two major presidential candidates listed on the California ballot tomorrow, many of the voters interviewed expressed the desire to back men not on the ballot. A Berkeley attorney, for instance, had this to say.
Yes, I'm an Eisenhower man, but as long as Eisenhower's not on the ticket, I'd be glad to vote for Warren, but he'd be my second choice.
A Hollywood film cutter also favored General Eisenhower, saying,
and my favorite candidate is General Eisenhower. If you want to know why, because I think he's on the ball.
A Pasadena typist likes Ohio Senator Bob Taft.
I feel that Senator Taft has had a great deal of experience, and I think he's an absolutely honest man. We don't all agree with everything anyone does, but he certainly is my favorite candidate.
A San Bernardino housewife believes in maintaining the status quo.
And my favorite candidate is Harry Truman. I don't believe in changing horses in the middle of the stream.
But a San Diego housewife maintains just as firmly that we need a military man in the White House, and she doesn't mean she likes Ike.
I think we need a good fighting man, so I'm for MacArthur.
That's how the voters feel about tomorrow's California primary. For a look at what the experts think, here again is Bob Letts.
NBC has canvassed the political editors of key newspapers all over California. And to keep you straight geographically, we'll start with the heavily populated southern end of the state. And here is the San Diego Union's observer, Henry Love.
I would say that Governor Warren's ticket has a substantial lead over the uninstructed delegation of Representative Werdell, primarily on the grounds that you can't beat somebody with nobody.
How about the other side of the fence, Mr. Love, the Democratic side?
Well, you have somewhat the same situation on that. You have Senator Kefauver, who's very widely known through his many activities in the last few years, and you have Attorney General Brown, who doesn't even appear on there as Attorney General. He just says Mr. Edmund G. Brown.
Los Angeles County has about 43% of the total vote of California, which means that 1.5 million votes are expected in that one county tomorrow. Two political editors give you their views from Los Angeles. First, Kyle Palmer of the Los Angeles Times.
Well, actually, the way I feel is that political predictions went out of style in 1948. But the way the thing is sizing up here, as between the Warren group and the Wardell group in the Republican primaries, Governor Warren should win very handily. Some people seem to think as much as 5-1. In the Democratic primaries, Senator Kefauver of Tennessee seems to have an edge over the nominal candidacy of Attorney General Edmund Brown. However, the Brown people are showing a lot of activity and energy and enthusiasm, and this may turn into quite a battle.
Another Los Angeles political editor, Leslie Claypool of the Daily News, says,
I don't make it a practice to make predictions. It is my guess that the Warren delegation will top the so-called Wardell for President delegation by quite a considerable vote. However, I am inclined to think that the Wardell or so-called free Republican delegation will make quite a showing, more than perhaps been made for some time against Earl Warren. Now, as far as the Democratic side is concerned, it's in such a state of flux right now that I'm not sure at all what's going to happen.
And now, moving into Northern California, you get this observation from the San Francisco Chronicle's Earl C. Barons.
Governor Earl Warren must win with his delegation if he is to remain a presidential candidate. Warren appears to hold the edge in the Republican primary. On the Democratic side, Senator Estes Kefauver has a delegation which appears to hold the edge over the nominally pledged delegation to Attorney General Edmund G. Brown. Brown's delegation could give Kefauver trouble, but the publicity Kefauver has received in his crime-busting activities gives him a lead over Brown.
And across the bay, the Oakland Tribune's political expert, Don Thomas, has these opinions about tomorrow's presidential contests.
Actual candidates have generally received a better reception in all parts of California than have the spokesmen for what some people refer to as ghost delegations. Senator Kefauver gained steadily as he campaigned personally in California, while many observers believe the slate nominally pledged to Attorney General Brown did not seem to be making headway despite the parade of actual or potential candidates who came to California in its behalf. On the Republican side, Governor Warren holds a substantial edge over the ticket headed by Congressman Tom Wardell of Bakersfield. The crystal ball may be a little muddy from 1948 still, but because California voters are wary of buying a pig in a poke, I'd tab the Warren and Kefauver tickets as winners.
In Sacramento, the state capital, is Herbert L. Phillips of the McClatchy newspapers, which dominate the Central Valleys. And the expert, Mr. Phillips, says,
California's election tomorrow, it seems to me, is important nationally for two reasons. First, because this will be the last major presidential primary in the country before the national conventions. And second, because of the size of the delegations at stake, 70 votes in the Republican National Convention and 68 in the Democratic. Governor Warren on the Republican side and Senator Kefauver on the Democratic are the only actual presidential candidates entered in California. The opposing campaigns have been parallel drives to stop Warren and to stop Kefauver. The actual influence of California on the presidential nominations probably will depend on whether these large delegate groups go to Chicago as legally pledged delegations or as uninstructed individuals under no obligation to vote together on the convention floor.
And that's the way tomorrow's California primary looks to the experts. Earl Warren with a decided edge over Thomas Wardell on the Republican ticket, and Senator Estes Kefauver with a close margin over Edmund Brown in the Democratic battle. But California isn't the only state voting tomorrow. There's South Dakota, too. And so, with a word of thanks to NBC affiliates KFSD in San Diego and KCRA in Sacramento, to Elmer Peterson and all the California NBC staff who helped on this portion of the program, this is Bob Letts in San Francisco switching to NBC affiliate KELO, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Dean Montgomery.
In South Dakota tonight, it's the eve of the last political dress rehearsal before the start of the 1952 versions of national political conventions. For the Republicans, it's the last out-and-out primary battle between Senator Robert Taft and General Dwight Eisenhower. For the Democrats, Senator Estes Kefauver has doffed his coonskin cap in South Dakota for a slate of delegates opposing those nominally pledged to neighboring Minnesota's favorite son candidate, Hubert Humphrey, on the first ballot only. However, in this predominantly Republican state, the principals in the play for votes are Republican candidates Taft and Eisenhower. Although Eisenhower's name won't appear on the primary ballot, the nominally uninstructed slate of delegates is publicly pledged to the general. The slate is headed up by a familiar South Dakota Republican, the former governor of the state, George T. Mickelson. Taft forces have brought in big guns labeled William C. Bullitt, former ambassador to Russia and France, and Lieutenant General Albert Wiedemeyer, former China Theater commander, not to mention the biggest gun in the Taft camp, Mr. Republican himself, who stumped the state for 5 days last week and returned to Washington with 25 major speeches checked off. Eisenhower forces have been sending salvos of I Like Ike across the state with Senator James Duff of Pennsylvania, Governor Sherman Adams of New Hampshire, Governor Val Peterson of Nebraska, Minnesota's Representative Walter Judd, as well as Kansas Representative Clifford Hope, and the recent Harold Stassen man to swing to the Eisenhower camp, Senator Ed Thigh of Minnesota. There are 14 convention delegates at stake in a winner-take-all contest, and during his stumping tour of the state, Senator Taft evaluated the outcome of the South Dakota primaries this way.
I think the election is important. Primary is important not only because it is the last primary before the Republican convention, but also because the people of South Dakota have a reputation of thinking for themselves, and they have represented the Republican philosophy, I believe, more perhaps than the people of any other state. Their decision on the kind of candidate they want is going to be looked upon with great interest and with great respect from all of the Republicans throughout the nation.
An Eisenhower campaigner, Pennsylvania's Senator James Duff.
You, my good friends in South Dakota, have a value and a contribution far beyond the population of your own people as compared with 154 million in the United States. Because really, you are a beacon and a landmark along the road that we are to travel. And you, more than any other one state at this critical period, will set the tempo and give direction to a campaign that is one of the most important and may be decisive in the whole future history of the United States.
The senator's mention of the future history of the United States was with respect to the vote-getting possibilities of General Eisenhower, a theme that has been present in most of the Eisenhower campaigner's South Dakota speeches. The question of how to win an election has been uppermost in all utterances of both Republican factions in bidding for votes in the South Dakota primary. The answer with the most appeal will be known at the polls tomorrow. This is Dean Montgomery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
And that's the story on this night before the California and South Dakota primary elections, the last primary scheduled for this presidential election year. This partially transcribed broadcast brings to an end NBC Radio's special series of primary shows, in which we've spotlighted the primary elections in key states all across the country. This series was part of the National Broadcasting Company's continuing election year coverage, designed to enable you to follow in every detail the campaign of the next president on NBC. We will follow up this primary series with special advance programs on the Chicago conventions, all leading up to NBC's complete coverage of the conventions themselves. And then we will keep you informed of political developments in this important election year, right through the campaigns and the November voting. So keep tuned for fullest coverage of the political story through the next 5 months. Remember to follow the campaign of the next president on NBC.